introduce yourselves so we know that we have the right band in the studio.
My name is Reggie Youngblood, and I'm in the band Black Kids.
My name is Owen, and I play bass in Black Kids.
Amazing. What percentage of your audience you think knows you're from Jacksonville, Florida?
A very marginal one.
Yes, I have to agree with that. Quite often, people think we're from England. Even the English, some of them think. But over there, actually, quite a few people might know because it's kind of perversely exotic to them that we're from Jacksonville, Florida. All they hear is Florida, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. No, and you know, it's interesting because my experience is not any different than anybody else's, except that I get a bunch of brown envelopes on a Friday or a Monday or whatever day it is, and I open them, and maybe if it's a buzz band, I've read something about it. More often than not, I try not to, so I can just listen to the music, and I say, I like that, I don't know about that. And it wasn't until I started doing my research that I came to realize where you were from. I made the assumption because of the charts and everything else. And even the bio doesn't really go out of its way. It talks about the music, but it doesn't go out of its way. And not that that really, you know, means anything, except that this has happened really, really fast, at least for this incarnation of the band, right? Because, am I right, you formed Black Kids in 2006?
Yes, that's right.
So we're here less than 2 years later. So take me back a little bit. I know that this goes back to long-term friendships in Sunday school. So it goes way further back than the incarnation we're talking about here, obviously. So take me through a little bit of that revisionist or non-revisionist history that people aren't going to find in the bio. Or just totally make it up, which works too.
You mean pre-Black Kids or just...
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, what I'm not going to do, what we're not going to do in this interview is we're not going to do the what you listened to when you were a kid. I have much better ways to get to all of that. This will be a little different, I think. That's what the goal is.
Okay.
Because nobody needs to rehear or reread the interview that you've done 12 times. I've read those.
Okay.
But I am interested because what started musically for all of you is very, very different than what I just heard in a session.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, that we've played in several different bands over the past decade in Jacksonville, but I kind of feel like we were getting closer to what we are now when Owen and I started corresponding via email because he was studying abroad in Scotland, and that's when we start to really think about what we wanted to present. I think prior to really everything was just a bit like, you know, garage bands, just like us having a good time, but we wanted to put some thought and concept behind what we were doing. And so he came home, and we started a group called Mata Hari, which was basically a New Order tribute band, and no one really cared. So then as that started to disintegrate, I started speaking to Kevin again, because he wasn't in Mata Hari, but we had played in several bands together, and we had a kind of like similar discussions that Owen and I had just about what we really love about pop music and what really, really gets us excited. And so, I don't know, so then it seems like from there we just decided that we needed to bring in the girls, and here we are.
I think each of us, to varying degrees, grew up in quote-unquote Christian homes, and we were steeped in that, you know, Southern Baptist theology and lifestyle, as it happens, which isn't uncommon for kids. Where we come from.
So you released Wizard of Oz for free, right, on your MySpace site. which is the hip and groovy way to build a band. But then you did some other things, and I always want to kind of hear how it all hooked up, because, you know, you didn't exactly go with a bad management company. You know, I mean, Arcade Fire, Bjork, you didn't exactly do, you know, dumb moves here. And there are so many bands that say, oh, we're going to put our EP on MySpace. And they get, you know, a few page views. But there are a lot of other smart things that you did here. So tell me a little bit, as you were doing your plan for the band and you were talking about the music. And again, we're talking about a trajectory of 2 years here. That's a pretty tight trajectory for all of this to have happened.
We're coming up on 3, just to be clear.
Okay, well, I'll give you that. I'll give you points for the extra, you know, extra year. But still, hiring of a killer management company, you know, getting signed, you know, all of this, even 3 years.
Yes.
People don't always do that. There are bands that put out stuff on their MySpace site doing the Web 2.0 thing, and they linger for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even though we took great pains to you know, to map out what we want it to sound like, you know, we were really piss poor at all the practical, logistical stuff. So us putting our songs up on MySpace, it's just, I don't know. There wasn't really a lot of playing. We didn't really think that would get us anywhere. It's fortuitous that did help us quite a bit. But we were like, when it came to like touring and...
you toured relentlessly and you continue to tour relentlessly, right?
We do now, but prior to all this, all we did was play the same 2 bars over and over again in Jacksonville. So we really couldn't get it together. And I think we put our songs on MySpace because we couldn't afford to get them pressed. And we refused to tour until we had something that we could, a physical product that we could give out. So we were stuck. So
where did the switch flip? What exactly occurred that took you from playing the same 2 bars in Jacksonville to all these other things, being on a, you know, a major label, you know, having the management company,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll get to England in a second, you know.
We played, well, in August of 2007, as Reggie said, we'd only been playing in Jacksonville, but early that month, we played at a small festival in Athens, Georgia, and that's when things kind of started to take off, so to speak.
And that, it's amazing how one gig... with the right people there.
Yeah, but there's some truth to that, but I'm not sure that we wouldn't be here right now had we not played that festival, you know? It may have been any festival or show. So
how did you actually get signed? Who saw you and who came after you and said, hey, we want you? Was there a bidding war? Was there any of that fun stuff? Or did you just know a good thing when you saw it and said, we're here?
Well, there was a... an onslaught of industry knocking at our doors from every, I don't know, area, I guess, whether it be just people, producers or labels or booking agents or or management. And so it was just all like tossed in front of us in one huge lump. And I don't know, we just were having like a, you know, we're communicating through emails and we're speaking to people across the ocean, and you know, little by little it starts to make sense. Okay, what we need is a manager. And so we, you know, we spoke to quite a few. This one gentleman I thought we were going to work with, and he was taking care of some really great groups, but it didn't work out. So he, I don't know, actually referred us to our current management, sort of. And you know, yeah, Arcade Fire, Bjork, so we figured, all right, they know what they're doing. And from there, we went over to the UK and we pretty much met every label that there is in London. And yeah, we were the new girl at school for a while. Everyone wanted to bone us. Can I say that?
I just wanted to leave a pause in there. Because, you know, whatever track we want to, you know, if we want to put in a, you know, an applause track or a laugh track or whatever sound effect we want to put in at that moment in time, we can do.
Boing. Something like that.
So then you go to make a record and you pick this producer. What's his name? Bernard Butler. Some
Barney.
Some guy.
This is dude.
Okay, so you get signed with Almost Gold. They say, okay, we're making a record. Did they give you a choice of producers? Did you say, this is who we want to work with? How did that all occur?
Well, I mean, if you're a musician, you probably spend a lot of time daydreaming about who you'd want to work with. But it's funny. It's like when the question popped up, we were just kind of at a loss. I think we almost felt like we might want to do it ourselves. But then we'd been doing it ourselves for so long that we did want to experience like a proper producer and a proper studio. And so it was suggested by quite possibly our management that we work with Bernard. And admittedly, that hadn't occurred to us. But when it was suggested, it just made perfect sense because, I don't know, some of us are massive Suede fans, but also it's just like he's like influenced by so many of the things that we're influenced by, you know, and his art reflects that. Like he's... You know, he draws from R&B and soul or, you know, guitar rock. You know, so we're on the same page. Well, I feel like it's the record that we made, the record that we should have made for the most part. That doesn't mean there wasn't any drama while we were recording it. It was a very intense experience because... I don't know. I think we recorded it in 17 days. We had these demos prior to, and we were just wondering how similar or dissimilar should the album proper be. It was I don't know. It was a mostly enjoyable experience. You know, working with a hero and who's also a very lovely person. And a hypnotist as well, which is how I got a lot of my work done. And he has beautiful blue eyes. And, but there were like, you know, there were some moments where it was uncomfortable. Look at Me When I Rock With You is, I don't know. I have a couple of characters in my repertoire whenever I write songs. And one of them, this is very... dastardly philanderer, and I just thought it would be fun if this guy was trying to seduce the kind of girls that Owen and I used to date when we were Southern Baptist. These very chaste, virginal girls who were pretty much dating Jesus, and so I just thought, how would he go about doing that? And then I figured that he would probably use some kind of like backwards logic. He would probably try to use the girls' theology against them. By saying, you know, if you're waiting for kingdom come, if you're waiting for Jesus to return and to rapture you or whatever, then shouldn't you be a little sweet to me before that happens? We've got limited time here, babe. Howdy, this band is called Black Kids. This song is called Look at Me When I Rock With You.
This song is called My Christian Name, and we actually recorded it during the Party Traumatic sessions. I guess that was the only one that wasn't on the album proper.
Yeah.
But it's on, it's available in Japan and even in the UK, I think.
UK iTunes. Hello, it's us, Black Kids again. This song is called My Christian Name. Oh, my girl's beautiful with two black eyes. She doesn't get it from me, she gets it from other guys. I tickle her for names, but she flatly refuses. Her a lot of small bruises, but just what she chooses. When we're sliding, she calls me by my Christian name. She's playing psycho candy again and again. She don't believe in sin, and she never feels no shame. Now I know how the boss them. Yeah, it's pretty fucking awesome. She's got no middle name I could ever call her. She's filling me with fever, giving me cholera. I want to tell her that I love her, but I don't want to be a mother. Yeah, you gotta be right. Leave me alone on a Saturday night. Tis, tis, wipe off the disc. TCB is always a risk. You know I always get caught whenever I wanna have a wee shot. She's got no middle name I could ever call. This is a Magnetic Field song called Strange Powers.
You tend to like to put some covers on your B-side, and you gave us one there that was pretty cool. So tell me about your association or your, you know, why you chose that particular cover to play for us.
Well, I think the song that we chose, Strange Powers by the Magnetic Fields, I think the Magnetic Fields might be one of the few bands that all five members equally enjoy and love and respect. And I think... I don't know. That's just a song that Kevin and I have geeked out to for years and years and years, and we just always thought it'd be fun to play live. And so we thought it was about time.
It's kind of the lowest common denominator between the five of us.
We've invented a thing. We've done it with over, I don't know now, 250 bands, and called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.